I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The Tea Party has spread to Australia. That's interesting. And under Barack Obama, poverty is exploding. Food stamp use is up. Unemployment goes up rather than down, it was supposed to. And we have reality hitting hard. When reality hits, it's a help to conservatives because, well, reality, the closer you come to seeing and accepting reality, the closer you come to God's point of view, because depending on how you want to use the word bias, if you want to use it in the most reasonable way, then God's opinion is not biased. I know that liberals who like to promote moral relativism will say everything is biased, but everything is not biased. If you see something and you're seeing it accurately, then you're not being biased. And I realize that's not necessarily how everyone uses that term, but let me assert that God is not biased. If somebody says that the sun emits more heat than the moon, they're not being biased. If somebody says that the earth orbits around the sun, they're not being biased. It's accurate. And so reality, when reality hits especially hard, like in a crisis, like 9/11, for example, reality hits, and then what do people do? Do they get all excited? Do they talk about pornography? And do they talk about abortion? And they talk about socialism? No, they think about God. They think about God. When reality hits, people think about God. Do you remember that plane crash? I'm sorry, it wasn't a plane crash. Do you remember when the passengers on an airline were told that they were going to crash? This was a headline just recently, and we have, well, on British Airways a few weeks ago, a crew member mistakenly played an emergency message warning the passengers who were flying to Hong Kong that the plane was about to plunge into the sea. They're over the ocean, and the passengers who had left on a flight out of London's Heathrow Airport heard a message: "This is an emergency. We may shortly need to make an emergency landing on water." Of course, people were terrified. And one passenger, Michelle Lord, said, Michelle Obama said, "We all thought we were going to die." Oh, no, that's not Michelle Obama. No, that's Michelle Lord, the other Lord. Michelle Lord, 32 years old, out of Britain. There's a story that Michelle Obama says she's just miserable as the first lady. So I don't know about the truth of that story or not. But this Michelle Lord said, "We thought we were all going to die. People were terrified." And it's interesting, when reality hits hard, what do people think about? Do they think about sports? Is that what people think about? Who's going to win the World Series, if they find out that they're going to die in the next 60 seconds or 1 hour, do they think about their favorite TV show? What do they think about? If you're in a foxhole and the enemy's coming and bombs are hitting around you, the saying is you can't find an atheist in a foxhole. And of course, there are exceptions that prove the rule, but as a general statement, it's true. And so when we as Christians, when we promote the worldview that God has, because he created the world and he is not biased, his understanding is accurate. When we get to know him, the better we get to know him, and we study his word, the better we get to know his word, then we could speak with authority on so many topics. Let me give you a few stories that we've been mentioning here at Bob and Yurt Live. And by the way, I want to thank those of you who signed up for our telethon. We've got 38 people signed up. Our goal is 200 to give $20 a month, to pledge $20 a month. And for those who are already giving, like one person today said, I'm already giving, but please increase my giving by $20 a month, automatically processed at the end of each month. And please increase my giving $20 a month. I want to be counted as one of the 200. So we're up to 38. And that means that when we get two more, we'll be at 20% of our goal. So please help today. Please be one of those two more. 1-800-8-N-YARTS. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. Help Bob and Yurt Live stay on the internet for another year. And so a few stories that we've been talking about here at Bob and Yurt Live. A pastor in Pennsylvania, Pastor Brian Cox. I debated Pastor Brian on the show some time ago, and he was not maintaining the biblical standard on morality that is in God's word. He just wasn't. And he was okay with sexual immorality and homosexuality. And I was doing my best to warn him. There's a pastor in Winter Park, Colorado. I won't mention his name, but Ken and Joe Scott, you heard Joe Scott on this program this week, another baby saved at the local child killing center. Ken and Joe Scott would warn the pastor of their church when they're up in Winter Park. They attend Denver Bible Church. But when they're up in Winter Park with their family, they'd attend a Christian church. And the pastor and his wife, they would invite local lesbians into their home. And rather than witness to them or confront them, they would just be nice and have fun, have coffee, watch a movie, just relationship evangelism. You know how that goes. And so Ken and Joe would warn the pastor, their pastor up in Winter Park. So, and these two men of God, they both rejected the counsel that was shared to them. The pastor in Winter Park, his wife ends up running off with one of the lesbians. Has an affair with a lesbian, runs off with her, leaves her husband. Pastor Brian Cox in Pennsylvania, his wife runs off with a lesbian, has an affair, their marriage is over. I remember the mom who called into Bob and Yurt Live in tears, telling the story about her oldest daughter. They were homeschooling. And her oldest daughter was so strong, and she wanted to go to the local public school with her friends from the neighborhood. And so mom and dad decided, well, you know, she is strong. And we think we'll continue homeschooling our other kids, but we think it'll be okay. Of course, the public schools are officially godless, and they do not teach that there's an absolute moral standard that God has given to us. They think it's sort of fun when kids have sex. just use precautions. And they certainly don't teach kids that God made you male and female, and you need to wait until marriage because you're worth waiting for, to the young ladies. They don't teach any of those things. And their oldest daughter, who started going to public school a couple years later, ended up in a lesbian relationship. And if I remember the end of the story, she moved in with a lesbian into an apartment with a lesbian who had been one of her teachers, if I recall that part of the story. We've been on the air for 20 years, so sometimes stories blend into each other. But I think I have that right, and I think that mom called from Parker, Colorado. I remember the mom who called in tears again. Her son had just started kindergarten. It was his second day. And she called in and said, "Bob, my son went to kindergarten first day yesterday, public school, and came home and said, 'Mommy, the teacher kissed another teacher.'" And mom said, "Well, probably they're married." And he said, "No, Mommy, the teacher, he kissed another man." And so mom thought, well, my son is, how old are you in kindergarten? 5 years old. He's probably confused. And so he came home. She said he came home today, the second day, and he said, "Mommy, the teacher kissed that other man again today." And the mom was just devastated. And I said to her that you are the most blessed mom in the entire country. Tonight, you are the most blessed mom in the country because it only took you 2 days to find out that they want to destroy your child's mind. They want to tear him away from you, your moral stand, your faith in our God, our Creator God, and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. They want to destroy your son, his eternal soul. It took you only 2 days to find that out. You're blessed. You should thank God. And of course, beginning immediately, determine that your son will never set foot in another godless school as a youngster. It's different when you're an adult and you want to learn how to be an architect. And you go to school and you're an adult. When you're a child and you go to where the people who are in charge have implemented a godless public school, that's dangerous. And as parents, part of our responsibility to God is to protect our children from danger. So if you have a daughter and she goes to public school, don't worry. They'll make sexual jokes about your daughter's body. They will ask her, they being the students, it's systemic. They'll ask her for sexual favors. There'll be all kinds of very awkward situations. Her natural barrier of protection around her will gradually be lowered and lowered. And when she's ruining her life and you stand before God and God asks, "What did you expect from a godless school?" What will you say? What will you say? So let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278 in Longmont. Brad, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, Bob. I had attended a back-to-school night for parents at a public school here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the teacher there was saying how, well, a few different things that raised a red flag with me. But one thing was that he would show these kids, it was social studies geology classes what he was teaching. He would give these kids
social studies geography,
varying
probably?
Amounts of truth to them.
All right.
And that these children would learn to discern the varying amounts of these truths in these stories for themselves, and that they would be empowered to know that they were all-knowing, all discerning as for truth, and
now
that they would never be wrong.
Hey, Brad. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I said, well, you know, what kind of a study is this? And I said, this is like reasonless, baseless, purposeless. And he said, oh, no, that's not it at all. It's self-empowering. It's teaching a person to think for themselves. And
sounds so like,
I said, well,
go ahead, yeah.
I said, well, then where does their, so then through that, they learn that they are all, they are the power. That leaves out God. And that they're the right answer, that they have all the right answers. So then that would defy authority and respect for other people.
Right. How could they get a wrong answer? Because they're often told there are no right or wrong answers, and it's up to you to determine what is right and what is wrong. So, of course, Brad, you were right to recognize that there's something really broken here. The public schools are also big on non-directive psychoanalysis, where they'll just present ideas and let the students come to their own conclusions and see what will that tell us about the students. They allow surveys to be taken where the kids are told there are no right or wrong answers. They publish the result of one of those surveys in the Parker High School, and the kids were asked, would you kill someone if you could get away with it? And the results were published in the school newspaper, the student newspaper, and a third of the girls said they would kill someone if they wouldn't get caught, and just over half of the boys said they would kill someone.
And oh, my goodness.
They would,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they would murder someone if they would not get caught. In Arapahoe County out, what is it, Smoky Hill High School, a teacher gave out a test, and it was an essay test, and it said there are no right or wrong answers. And one of the questions was, if you were on an airplane and somebody offered you $1,000, a stranger, to have sex, would you do it? And so they tell these kids there are no right or wrong answers, and you make up your own morality, and kids are broken. Kids are told that they're animals, that they come from animals. There are no absolutes. Our kids then act like animals, and the parents are surprised.
Yeah.
We don't need to be surprised. The outcome is expected.
Yep. And see, this is absolutely appalling to me. And I didn't understand how partly America's morals, ethics, and values are being turned inside out from the inside out, and it's in all of our our school teaching curriculums.
Yeah.
And this person said that it was a company, an American company, he said, with expressiveness, as if that made it more valid.
That's good, right? That the that our textbooks come from American companies. Well, that's good. Right. What do we think? They're from Moscow?
Well, I thought he said it was the AP company, but I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, Brad, what do you think? It sounds like you have a child in the public school. You realized that the curriculum is godless. Don't you think there's a crisis there, and you should ask God for help to figure
out? Absolutely. Absolutely, because a lot of the teachers are atheists. A lot of the teachers are godless. A lot of the teachers are not empowered of the Holy Spirit.
Well, Brad, if there's a teacher who's an atheist and or a homosexual, they don't have to keep quiet about what they believe. But if there is a Christian who honors God and believes his word, then they better keep their mouth shut or they will be shown the door.
Yeah.
So the atheists are bold in the public schools, because the public schools are the parochial schools for the humanists, for the godless. They are the religious schools for the Darwinists, the ones who worship the earth and fish and all. They think we came from fish.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Yeah, so Brad, in your life, as you think about your life, what makes more sense? Do you think homeschooling could work for your family? Do you think a Christian education and a Christian school could work? What do you think?
Yeah, there's just one child left in high school, and, you know, I don't know. He's at the age where it would be some up to him, too, of course. But if I had it to do all over again, and if I was paying more attention to this most important subject instead of trying to make a living, which is what we're all trying to do more of all of a sudden, make ends meet, make a living, and so on and so forth, which is completely irrelevant compared to our children and their health and mental being and everything. If I had it all to do over again, I'd have started a long time ago with homeschooling. Absolutely.
Well, Brad, and I'm sorry to hear that, and I have regrets in my life how I raised some of our kids, although my wife and I, we currently have three young ones, and we're blessed beyond measure in how we're raising them and the results that are just so wonderful to see. You know, I was talking to an administrator of a local Christian school just 2 weeks ago, and he said to me, we're talking about all the Christian schools that have been closing in the Denver metro area.
Yeah.
And he said, when we started our school 25 years ago, the parents decided where the kids would attend. He said today, even in there, this school has a high school. He said today, the kids decide where they're going to go to school. In just a quarter of a century, our culture has changed so much that our parents are afraid to assert their authority over their children.
Yeah.
And the kids decide, and the kids make decisions not based on what is morally right or spiritually wise. They make decisions on all kinds of, you know, negative factors.
Yep, that's for sure.
So, Brad, I'm sorry to hear the situation. It might not be too late, though. Maybe you should talk to your last child in school. And, you know, sometimes you tell kids, hey, what do you think about never going to school again? And they get excited. You say, you know, we could finish out at home.
Yeah.
I would try it.
Yeah, and I was talking to a lady today who takes in some abused children and stuff like that. I don't know anything about that program. I don't know if that's county or what, but, you know, one girl has been in a gang, been on the street since she was just a young teenager, and one thing and another, and through the county and through this, she provides a home for them and all this sort of stuff, and she cannot mention, teach them God, have them read the Bible, anything like that. If they want to go to church, she can take them to church, but she cannot say, well, you know, it's Sunday morning, we're going to church. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's
clean up a little bit because we're going to church today.
Brad,
she cannot say that and do that.
Or
they'll take them away from her.
So it's the long war against God that we find ourselves in. Thank you, Brad, for calling from Longmont. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So reality hits hard quite often. And when reality hits, it's not being pro-choice that people think about. When it comes time to, say, recognize that a loved one is dying, or there's a crisis like September 11th, where we see innocent people being killed, what is it that's on people's minds? Is it socialism? Pornography? Sports? The Avalanche? The Stanley Cup? What's on people's minds? What's on their minds is God, and relationships. God and relationships. God made us in His image and His likeness. And when people realize, wow, these loved ones of mine have just gone to meet their Maker. Or if they're afraid that they're going to die. Imagine being on this British Airways flight and you're over the ocean and you hear this is an emergency, we're about to make a water landing, and you think, people thought that's it. People thought they were going to die. Of course they'd think that. That's what you would think. And so what will go through your mind? Are you living your life such that you are ready for that time? Because that time comes for everyone. So are you ready? Do you have a relationship with God, with your Creator, with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in His death and resurrection? Here at Bob and Yurt Live, of course, we've been so involved in the personhood campaign for Amendment 62 in Colorado because that's the significant issue of our day. That is the most significant issue because it is utter rebellion against God to say that we could dismember children in their mother's wombs. We can do that with impunity. We can rip their arms and legs off because we are Planned Parenthood. We could honor our founder, Margaret Sanger, even though she wrote in one of her books, you just look at our website, kgovkgov.com. She wrote of the, quote, the dead weight of human waste, and she described them as the blind and the deaf, the handicapped. She called them the dead weight of human waste. And she wrote, you could look right at Google Books, you could see scans of these pages. She wrote that a baby, after it's born to a large family, the most merciful thing you can do is kill it. That's what she wrote about a baby. And Planned Parenthood honors her. Well, how could they possibly honor her? Even if they thought they were right, she's a racist, a eugenicist. She hated the handicapped. She said, if you spend money caring for the handicapped, you're wasting the money. Because the blind people are the dead weight of human waste. And they honor her. She advocated killing infants after they were born, that's the most merciful thing you can do. If you already have four kids and you have a baby, and the baby's a little infant in the crib, you should smother it because that's the most merciful thing you can do. Because why would a baby want to be born to a family with four brothers and sisters? And they honor her. How could they possibly honor her? They continue to honor their past. They honor her because they are in rebellion against God. They hate God, so their tendency is toward anything that dishonors God. Hey, this Friday night, tomorrow night at Rising Star Baptist Church, Walter Hoy, Bishop Porter, we will be there, 7 o'clock, 1500 South Dayton. Please come out. Church in the City has a banner outside their church, 4 feet tall, 30 feet wide for Amendment 62. And Colorado Right to Life, the banquet coming up.